Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Laura Jost, and I'm the Editorial Director at CHE. Today, Jesse Fasola, Director of Technology, Infrastructure, and Cybersecurity at St. Joseph's Health in Paterson, New Jersey, joins me. We discuss cybersecurity for hospitals and health systems, the biggest threats and points of vulnerability, how attackers are evolving, how to respond when there is a breach, and more.
Health systems and hospitals have been thinking about cybersecurity, hopefully, for years now. So how can they ensure that they're actually staying ahead of the threats?
Well, healthcare systems really need to work on a shorter strategy, somewhere in the area of 1 to 2 years versus the historical 3 year. Information security is changing too much. The threats are changing and evolving. So you really need to focus on what's present and what's current, and the tools that are actually coming out really need to be focused on. Some of the other areas of concern are really security operations. While we're all comfortable with information security and how it's running, those plans, procedures, and policies really need to be looked at to make sure they're up to date and continue into the future with different regulations or different changes. New tools that are coming out also have different synergies and interconnected components, where you can actually have a tool set that all work together for a better cause. Really understanding the data that you have. Healthcare systems are known for unstructured data, legacy data, new data. It's really hard and difficult sometimes to find out who needs access to what, and healthcare systems leaves that open. So really finding those out and finding the identities that really need to access that data is important. And then classification of that data for security purposes is really understanding who has access and what level of access they need. And, you know, is that data really secure or not? Trending analysis, right? Looking at the trends that are happening in the industry, looking at what's happening on the landscape, the threat landscape, and then adapting to it, right, as it happens, is something really important that healthcare systems, cybersecurity professionals need to do. Within healthcare, what I've seen also is partnership. You really need to partner with business units such as risk, legal, compliance, and really get everyone on the same page. Security is historically seen as kind of the wall, right? It's a hurdle. It's always an inefficiency. But now security is seen as something that can protect the organization from extended downtimes, right? We've seen downtimes in this industry longer than we've ever seen before. So you really need to protect yourself to be resilient against it. And then emergent threats is really sharing data, right? So knowledge sharing, information security is really important to share what you see and then attach and connect to other sharing networks that share that information with you. So you can find that data or find the threat or find the vulnerability before it's really attacked or leveraged in the wild. And then also probably now more than ever is third-party assessments and third-party partners is a vector where you see now they're going after the partner or the vendor or manufacturer to really attack them, which in turn impacts your business.
So what are the most common weak points that make these hospitals and health systems the most vulnerable that they should be focusing on to shore up?
Honestly, I think the biggest weak point and or the biggest threat right now is really the increased amount of phishing and attacks that are targeted to healthcare systems. Just our organization alone, we receive 50 million emails a year on average, and we only allow 4 million in. You know, it's a huge, vast number of what emails are actually identified as malicious. And those are just increasing as we go through. And that's really a big threat in the industry because that's the entry point for a lot of, issues within cybersecurity, right? So talking about ransomware and all these bad malware and viruses that can happen, phishing is one of the biggest vectors. Another area is really understanding, like I mentioned before, is identity. Who's accessing the data? So right now there's a big push for identity management where you really understand the individual and you identify and put a profile around that user where the user can only access certain things in the organization and nothing else, right? Locking it down to specific targeted appliances or systems. And then on the same vein with identity is really passwords, right? So the biggest weak point in healthcare is We have doctors, we have nurses that don't want to use strong passwords, and it's an impact to their operations because they have to type in a lot. So really leveraging products like badge swiping, tap and go type of systems, and then also using changes with your passwords, using password list checks where you check for previously pawned or previously breached passwords. Right now, there's a publicly available database of over 600 million passwords where they're well known. You should not allow your healthcare individuals, staff to use those passwords, right? It's an easy win. Those are some of the, I think, the biggest threats I'm seeing. And then one other is really back to third party. We don't know what they're doing all the time, right? It's a third party. You're putting your trust into another organization and you signed a deal or a contract or an agreement based on what they're offering you. And you can only understand their security based off of your initial assessment. So ongoing posture assessments, ongoing checks, ongoing scans of the environment, and really holding your vendors accountable.
And so, obviously right now, more healthcare is taking place virtually than ever before. So how has the pandemic kind of changed the game when it comes to cybersecurity?
Well, healthcare has taken advantage of the pandemic in many ways. One of them is really extending remote capabilities for the workforce, as well as health services around telehealth, telemedicine. So it's now a whole new vector of area where we need to secure, right? People at home, individuals at home, as well as video communications to the home and to the patients and provider. Those are areas that now we need to put security controls, put standards around, and really understand those threats and protect them. Some of the other areas also data security again, right? We're sharing data now remotely. How are we going to lock that down or secure that data or encrypt that service where the data being seen or shared is secured, regardless of where it is in the world? And those are some of the areas that come to mind. Some of the other areas, while people are remote, now they're a whole new target for attacks, right? Phishing campaigns and voice calls because they're home. Locking down certain privileges and access there at the house is very important. User workflows and policies need to be updated, right? So we went from no healthcare remote work to now healthcare remote work capabilities overnight. And now we have to take a step back and look at all the policies and procedures that are in place because they need to be continuously adapted, right? What should be allowed at home and what should be allowed in the workplace? And then mobile devices, right? So as wireless technology and wireless capabilities become greater, so does the mobile capabilities and mobile use. So now you have mobile devices that can get lost, right? Potentially with patient data or information on them where it could lead to a breach. So you need to be able to lock those devices down, manage those devices in a better form fashion, and really, understand those vulnerabilities.
How have attackers gotten more sophisticated with their hacking and cybersecurity threats?
There's a couple of areas. One being distributed and state-funded attacks where organizations are being funded by the government. You're seeing this in China, organizations being funded through China or Iran, and they're taking on and carrying on these attacks towards healthcare and or all other government and other organizations around the world. And it's alarming at the rate that that's happening. In addition to that is really supply chain, where now they actually go after the software manufacturer or vendor supplying you and impact them. And in addition, downstream, they impact your business and many other businesses. You could see this recently within the last couple of years, increasing at an alarming rate. And then last, I would say ransomware as a service, where now there's individuals out there that are selling the capability of launching a ransomware attack. And this is very important because some individuals from inside the organization can either share on purpose or by accident some vital information or credentials, and then they carry on these attacks, and then that person can actually get paid. So you can actually go out and shop and partake in ransomware and make money off of it. So I think those are some of the areas that are really concerning that they've become sophisticated around.
And so then when there is a breach, when something happens with a hospital or a health system, what is that right response that they should be utilizing?
Well, I think in a worst case scenario, there's three areas. Is really preservation, collecting all the logs you can, doing forensic images of the systems that are impacted or affected, starting to coordinate internally with teams and players such as IT, legal, risk, compliance, marketing, public relations, and really understanding to see also at the same time, is that bad actor or something happening in the environment currently? Because if you start communicating, they'll actually see that most likely and start making even larger attacks against you. So really understanding how to do out-of-band communication at that point, right? Not doing email because they may have access to your email environment. And launch even a deeper attack. And then also respond in the way of incident management or incident response, following through those plans. But I guess if data itself was breached, if you know that data was actually breached out of the organization, obviously the first thing is really stopping that breach, limiting the access of whether it's the individual or bad actor, contacting your IT leadership, contacting compliance officer, right? Immediately letting them know what's going on and responding, right? We're legally bound to respond to a breach within a certain period of time. We also have to look at investigation practices, and this all has to happen in a very short window. So you have to investigate both internally, bring in external resources where needed, mitigate the effects, right? So a breach can have long outstanding effects across the organization, right? You may have to go out and wipe devices or change everyone's password or send out notices, again, all within a short period of time. Correct the breach, right? You have obligations to correct any breach within 30 days or else you're fined. Impose any sanctions, right? So if there was any workers involved with that breach, there's sanctions and items that the healthcare system has to take against that individual. And then determine if the breach really needs to be reported by guidelines, right? So HHS details what's considered a breach that's reportable and what's not. And then also adding to your disclosure log. So you need to disclose a breach. So those are some of the big areas. I know that's high level, but those are what you need to do if you're breached.
You know, if a hospital is hit and they have to go into like a lockdown, how can they ensure that care delivery isn't compromised during that time?
Well, hopefully by then you've had a very good backup solution for many of your systems. I think the backups are one of the most important components where you need instant recovery. And by means of that is a lot of organizations say, I check a box and I have backups, great. But if you needed to restore everything, how long will that take? And if it takes more than a couple of days or more than the appetite or allowance for downtime, then you need a new system. It's just, you can't recover fast enough. And that's really one of the most important things. I think contingency access as well, right? So in addition to having protective or redundant measures, having a system so you can access your medical record and continue to service the patient is paramount. Like for example, there's healthcare record systems where they offer it as a hosted model. So it's not on premise. So if you, your organization was impacted, your health record and your main clinical applications are hosted elsewhere and you can access them anywhere, anytime. Regardless if you were locked down because of ransomware, you could just, you know, turn on a computer and remotely connect and then you could service your patient. So I think those are two areas that I would say.
So hospitals and health systems, obviously they have a lot of competing priorities to cybersecurity. I mean, right now COVID is kind of overwhelming some hospitals. So how can they ensure that even during these times when they have other priorities that are overwhelming them, that they're still prioritizing cybersecurity?
It's a big business conversation that needs to happen and take place. COVID in healthcare right now is the priority. Right? Taking care of patients, taking care of the community is the number one concern. But at the same rate, information security or a cybersecurity issue can make you stop being able to take care of your patients. And I think now you see that more than ever, that it's becoming a very high threat to the organization. It's being listed in emergency preparedness. where it's being seen and information wants to get gathered about, are we vulnerable? Do we have risk? What are those risks? And how are we mitigating them? And then on constant and ever increasing budget needs to be allocated for information security as the threats get, you know, stronger. So does the products that, you know, the cost of the products that are out there to correct those. It's going to be an ongoing need for information security budget and conversation thereof at the business level. And then transparency, like I was mentioning, reporting, giving metrics, speaking about where you are, what's vulnerable, what's not, and what products, what business cases do you have to create to prove out what you need to purchase or acquire or change within the organization to protect yourself.
Are there any additional improvements that hospitals and health systems should be making that are generally being overlooked right now?
Well, at this time, I think all healthcare systems really should partner with endpoint protection and or detection product. They're typically called EDR, MDR, or XDR products, where MDR is actually a managed hosted service where they actually are monitoring your environment 24/7. Some of these newer technologies, they're being adopted at this point, but within healthcare, it's almost a requirement nowadays. Medical device security is probably one of the biggest concerns now, where historically medical devices are riddled with vulnerabilities because of their age and because of issues with firmware, issues having to update them, or if they are monitored and managed through the FDA, you can only go a certain software level that they dictate. It may be vulnerable. So you really need a product to counteract that and to help you supplement to review and monitor and understand your risk as far as medical devices. Previously, I talked about integration with all security tools, right? So if you're looking for a security tool, make sure that it does integrate with other products that you already have. You could reap the benefits of integrating those products where you can get automation or actions taken from one tool to another and enhance your security posture. And third-party assessments is, again, another area where you really need to understand where your third parties are going, if they're decreasing in security posture or increasing. So healthcare systems really need to take on an active approach to monitoring their partners and strategic partners to see if they're declining in security, and then go after them and hold them accountable. And then lastly is a validation. While healthcare and every organization, we have a lot of procedures and policies and documents as far as downtime and incident response, we really need to validate them on a regular basis to make sure that those products and those tool sets or those run books are accurate and they can actually be followed. And they can be enacted by not just one person or one individual and one team, but by multiple people across the organization. Because if there is an emergency or an event, you're going to need more than one person or one group of people to be able to manage those.
And then finally, are there any looming threats that you're concerned about potentially being an issue in the future?
I think for healthcare, the biggest one is aging and obsolete IT equipment and softwares. Where we're held to a standard to maintain certain amount of data for certain amount of years, that comes along with maintaining that system. So protecting those legacy systems as best as we can, isolating them as best as we can, and really focusing on those, as well as engaging your third parties and your partners to increase their security posture, making sure that they're doing everything they can to protect you and your data as well.
Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Laura Jost.